Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the frozen tundra to your airwaves, it's time for 9 to noon.
John Kuhn and touchdown Packers.
The ultimate midday hangout for Packers talk, Wisconsin sports, and everything in between. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Underneath Kuhn for the touchdown.
A Green Bay legend.
Look at John Kuhn run for the first down and keep it going. Moving the pile all the way to the 6-yard line.
And Lambeau's favorite fullback. John Kuhn. He's bringing the heat, the humor, and just the right amount of chaos. Rami Makhlouf. Together, they're breaking it all down, debating every angle, and having a little fun while doing it. This is 9 to noon on The Fan.
Hour 2 of 9 to noon, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios with John Kuhn and myself, Rami Makhlouf, Brandon Schneid on the other side of the board and on the ones and the twos. Later this hour, we'll talk about that defense and how you're feeling about it when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. Our Milwaukee baseball insider Andrew Wagner joins us at 11 to look ahead to the divisional series and see what the Brewers are saying about that and how they're getting ready for it. But joining us right now on the Fan Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all. You can find his work inside the Green Bay Press Gazette at PackersNews.com and frequently right here on the Fan. He is our Green Bay football insider, Ryan Wood. Woody, how are you this morning, my man?
Rami, it is great to be speaking with you. It's been way too long.
I'm good.
How are you?
I'm good. Before we get into the Packers, I just wanted to say I'm sorry about your Mets, buddy. That's unfortunate what happened to your baseball team.
I'm sensing sarcasm. Is that genuine? are you genuinely sorry, or is that just rubbing salt in the wound there?
But hey, Steve Cohen apologized, so there's that. I'm sure that
does
made
anybody
you feel better.
Does anybody that cover the Packers actually like the Brewers? I mean, this is unbelievable.
You got all of us coming in from all corners of the country, and I'm from Indiana, and it's a long story. My dad, there's no baseball team in Indiana. My dad grew up in Long Island. I took his team, and gosh, I wish he was a Yankees fan, because it is brutal being a Mets fan.
You mentioned Indiana. I'll just preemptively say sorry about your Pacers, too, before the season.
About Achilles tendons. I mean, sorry about a whole bunch of things right now.
But let's get into the Packers, Woody. And we spent much of the first hour dissecting the sequence at the end of overtime and listening to Matt LaFleur's explanation of it, where he said it felt like a slow-motion car crash watching that thing. That raised an eyebrow for me, because that's when you're watching a slow motion car crash, there's nothing you can do about it. He's the head coach of that football team. Was there nothing he could do about it, Ryan Wood?
Well, he could tell Jordan Love in his helmet, hurry up. But short of that, Matt LaFleur made it very clear that it's on him on the sideline. But you also need your quarterback to rally the troops in that moment, don't you? Like, you have to, the urgency, not just from Jordan Love, but any quarterback in that situation, it's his job to get the guys to the line of scrimmage at that warp speed that Matt LaFleur was talking about, and he didn't see that. So, no, I think that some of this is on Jordan Love as well, and not just the management, but I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday on that Emmanuel Wilson checkdown. If you look on the flat route at Matthew Golden, there is about 8 yards. There is two guys over there, Romeo Doubs and Dontavian Wicks, who were running their own routes but could have very easily become blockers, made that transition. There's a pocket to throw, and Jordan Love's looking right at it. He does not throw. And then and that play's blocked up. I mean, there's a wall there, protection, except that he doesn't fire. And now he's holding on to it too long. The pressure finally gets to him to the point where he has no choice but to go to the opposite flat, the backside, to check it down to Emmanuel Wilson, who he's hoping can make a guy miss. But whoever made the tackle, whichever Cowboys defender made the tackle, by the time Emmanuel Wilson gets the ball, his shoulders are square. He's in perfect position. And I asked Matt LaFleur, why not throw it to the flat route to Matthew Golden? I didn't really get an answer. He was more concerned on the clock management for good reason. But the execution wasn't good. I mean, the play before that, Trevon Diggs just completely fires on the screen to Matthew Golden. Maybe Romeo Doubs can't make that block with how Trevon Diggs fired so quickly, but he doesn't even try to make that. He's nowhere near position to make that block. If you block that up, maybe you make a play there. It was a combination of horrible clock management and just not executing the plays down the stretch on that final drive in overtime.
Yeah, you know, that's a very difficult block when the cornerback fires like that, because technically if you're blocking before the throw is in the air and caught, then you're offensive pass interference, right? Unless you're at 1 yard of the line of scrimmage. So there's all these different nuances and rules that these players have to know and understand and take chances on. It's an imperfect science playing football. I want to get back to Jordan Love, though, because this is two games now that Matt LaFleur has trusted him in a game situation. One, at the end of Cleveland, to throw the football. You got to protect the football over anything, right? Over anything, you got to protect the football in that situation. Your team still has the lead. Here, this two-minute drive, it was a nice two-minute drive, but under 2 minutes, it was kind of a debacle. So how much of this, and this is, I'm serious about this now, this is only Jordan Love's third year starting. He missed some games in his second year because of injury. How much of this is just the natural development of everything that it takes to play quarterback?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think you hit it on the head. Two things can be true. Jordan Love, if you look at every single metric, if you take the totality of four games, Jordan Love is playing at an extremely high level. He is playing at the top of the league. He's tied for second with Jared Goff in the league with 110-plus passer rating. Like, he is playing at the top of the league, 8 touchdowns, 1 pick. He's taking care of the football. He's making plays. But also, he is still learning how to win consistently week in and week out. He's learning how to do what the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes, what those guys do in critical situations late in games in Cleveland. 3rd and 3, he telegraphs an interception to the safety, and that swings the game eventually into the loss. And there are plays down the stretch. If you look at the All-22, I don't know why Jordan Love doesn't hit Matthew Golden on the flat route. Minimum, if you lead him, he's getting to the sideline. It's a 2nd and 13. I think that play is going to set the 5-yard line. It's a much different situation. But on the play before, you saw a DB fire on the same type of route on the opposite side of the field. So it's those plays that have to be made in critical moments that, from the quarterback position, that decide winning and losing in this league in close games, but most of them are close games. So, yeah, two things can be true. He's playing at a high level. He's still learning how to win. It's not a surprise given where he is in his development.
Let's jump to the other side of the ball and a defense as we talk with Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider here on 9 to Noon with John Kuhn and me, Rami Makhlouf. That defense looked, you know, between very good and dominant through the first 3 weeks of the season. Then you give up 40 points to a Dallas team that doesn't have their number one weapon in CeeDee Lamb. Was that a breakdown defensively, or is that just a really good quarterback in Dak Prescott doing his thing, Woody?
Well, again, two things can be true, right? Dak Prescott put on a masterclass of how to mitigate the pass rush. And you saw the video of Micah Parsons coming up to Dak Prescott after the game and just saying his precision was on point. And Micah Parsons was asked about the pass rush afterwards at the podium in Dallas, and he's like, look at the film. It's not like we didn't have people in the backfield. It's not, and I mean, even Micah Parsons had 8 pressures, right? He had.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
0-yard sack. He had 3 quarterback hits. He was in the backfield. There was pressure. Dak Prescott made sure that it didn't wreck the game because his quick release was lightning fast. And it was like that every play. He put on a masterclass there. With that said, we saw things against Dallas that we really hadn't seen much at all in the first 3 games, like a lot of missed tackles. And then we've continued to not see things that we haven't seen much in the first 3 games. Like, as Matt LaFleur said after the game, somehow, some way, someone needs to take the football away. Like, that has to happen. And they've preached this. Jeff Hafley had the ball king, Wendell Davis in training camp. They created gimmicks off of this to emphasize the point of taking away the football is number one. They've done everything right in the process. And you look up, and all they have in 4 games is 2 interceptions. One of them came in the final play of the first half in Cleveland. They're not taking the football away, and I think it's very perplexing inside that building why that's happened. They expected it to happen. So those things, like that can lead to bad defense, but at the end of the day, Dak Prescott also played very well. You do have to tip your cap to him.
Overall outlook of these first 4 games, I think – if we had looked at this a little bit different, let's say we tied the Lions, lost to the Commanders, and won each of our last 2 games going into the bye, it feels much different. But in the grand scheme of things, 2-1-1, where do the Packers sit in your eyes in the NFC?
I think they're a perfect tie through 4 games. Like, no one expected a tie in Dallas, but that's the best way to describe this team because you have moments like Detroit, Washington, where they play brilliant. They are dominant. They play like a great football team. And then they lose to the Cleveland Browns, which were not this uncut gem, right? They're the Cleveland Browns. They showed that against the Lions last week. They're now 1-3. They are not a good football team. That is a game that the Packers absolutely need to win. And then they have great defensive performance against the Cleveland Browns, terrible defensive performance against the Dallas Cowboys. The offense looks lost against the Cleveland Browns, puts up 40 points in Jerry's world against the Cowboys. They just mediocrity is when you fail to put it all together, right? You can have great moments, but you have terrible moments too. They need to figure out through this bye how to have complementary football, how to play dominant on both sides at the same time. Things that we've seen them do in the first 2 weeks, but not enough, not consistently enough. And until they do that, they're not going to be a great football team. You have to bring it every week. You have to do it. Philadelphia Eagles, look what they're doing at 4-0, right? They're not playing the way that they expect. Saquon Barkley's averaging 3.1 yards per carry. You look up, they still find a way to win games. That's where the Packers need to get to, is where no matter how they play week in and week out, they make the plays, special teams, defense, and offense, that wins games consistently.
Do you see this as a Super Bowl contender right now? Did you at any point in the season, and have you moved off that, Woody?
Oh, they're absolutely a Super Bowl contender. They have elite talent. There's no question about that, but there's a difference between having great talent and being a great team. Just because you have great talent does not automatically make you a great team. And for a lot of these teams, they are still a young team. And I think, if anything, the most disappointing part of where they're at is that you expected the experience that they gained the last 2 years, going to back-to-back playoffs, having those scars build up, that they were coming into this season having an idea of what it takes to now be a great team because they'd had those lessons in the past. I don't think you expected them to still need to learn those lessons now. But clearly they do. Now, it doesn't mean that they won't along the way. It's October 1st. There's a long way to go. There's plenty of time to still gel, develop, mature. And if that happens, they have elite talent. There's no question about that. Both Jordan Love, Micah Parsons, both sides of the ball, there are stars, there are superstars. That is ultimately what wins in this league is talent. But talent's got to execute, and that's where they're at. They've got to learn how to execute at an elite level.
You know, Woody, I'm glad you bring that up because they do have a high level and a high number of elite players. But a team is only as strong as its weakest link. You can see what a simple blocked extra point can lead to. Is there a spot on this Packers team that you are concerned yet? Maybe offensive line, you know, without Devontae White, is the defensive line really as strong as we thought they were the first two games? Where do the Packers need to improve the most?
Well, you mentioned both there, and I think that both are concerning. They need to get healthy on the offensive line. And Devontae Wyatt, when healthy, and this was like this the first three games last year, too, before he had the week 4 high ankle sprain against Minnesota. The first three games last year, first three games this year, he plays like a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. Like two sacks, 5 quarterback hits in the first 3 weeks. That's really, really good. Matt LaFleur says it's a week-to-week injury. They need him back sooner than later because he's very important inside. But if you're asking about the most glaring spot on this football team, I think universally we have to agree it's special teams, right? Like that is, and it's not just the blocked blocked field goal, the blocked extra point. It's having a rookie kickoff returner that doesn't understand that if the football lands in the landing zone and then dribbles into the end zone, it's not a touchback at the 35, it's actually at the 20, which makes a massive difference in field position. It's having a rookie punt returner that is still very, he's never done this before in his life, still learning the position, doesn't realize that you can't just have a spin move and turn your back to the rush coming at you because you will get leveled. It's those things. It's 6 special teams penalties in 4 games, which is tied for 6th, I believe, in the league. It's near the top of the league. They have a battery on special teams that, by default, should make the whole group better than this because Brandon McManus, Daniel Wheel, and Matt Orzech are very good at their jobs.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, it hasn't because there's so many problems around them. And it's not like we've never seen a Packers team before be done in by special teams. Like, that has to get fixed.
Is anybody's seat hot with that being said, Rich Bisaccia or anybody else when you're talking about the special teams?
When you listen to Matt LaFleur, it doesn't sound like that, right? I asked Matt LaFleur yesterday as a whole, in totality, how do you get this fixed? And he, right, understandably so. I mean, the fact that they had blocked field goal, blocked extra point back-to-back weeks, and then at the end of regulation, Brandon McManus is staring down the goalpost from 53 yards away. He's got to make it to center to overtime, and he does. They hold up. Like that was a very significant play. I get that. But at the end of the day, those other miscues happened too. So for Matt LaFleur to say, if you could just get rid of the catastrophic issues, which is, in his words he said is a big if, he's confident they'll be in a good place. I get the belief there, but that's also kind of like saying if I just hadn't chopped off my left arm, which is a big if, I'd still have my left arm. Like, you still really done messed up at the end of the day, and those things have to be priority. It's not the glimmer of hope. It's fixing the sinking ship. And so I wonder about the perspective and how you look at it. Again, I get trying to be optimistic early in the season, but those things, point blank, period, cannot happen, and they have to not happen again.
That is Ryan Wood, our Green Bay football insider. Find his work inside the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, and every Wednesday at 10 o'clock right here on 9 to noon. Woody, I'm glad to be back, and one of the big reasons I'm glad to be back is I get to talk to you once a week, my man, and give you some grief about your basketball team and your baseball team. It's fun. We have fun here.
I had a big smile when I saw that we're doing this every week, and then in about 5 seconds, you erased it from my face. So very impressive, Robbie.
That's what I do.
That's what he does best.
We'll talk again next week, my man. Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
And he joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. We got to hit a quick break. On the other side, so much talk about the offense and the way things went down at the end of overtime there. But what about that defense? 40 points? 40 points after what we saw in the first 3 weeks. We'll talk about that Packers defense right after this. You're listening to 9 to noon, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.